We've been talking about prayer. This is actually the last in our series of prayer that we're going to do. It's been four-part. Last week, it was amazing. I watched it, and Rachel and my wife did such an amazing job last week. And Rachel, like, you were really good. That was really, really good. So I'm a big, proud papa right here. So good job. It was really amazing. Great job. It was great to see my two favorite women in my whole life up on the platform. So up here bringing the word. So I appreciate that. And it was really, really good. I had the opportunity to be up in Blairsville to preach at a friend of mine's church up in Blairsville. So they are moving into a new building sometime after Easter. And I was like, man, pray that on us. Amen. And but it was great. I appreciate you letting me be away. I appreciate you guys for holding down the fort, not just holding down the fort, doing a great job. So this will be the last of our series of prayer. And let me do this before we even get started. There's a couple of books I want to highly recommend for your own prayer life. This is a series, and it is called The Power of Praying, ... right? So, oh, there's Lloyd. Hey, Lloyd, how are you? There's Lloyd. He exhorted us on Friday night. It was so good, man. It's so good to have you here. And we need to get together sometime. We need to have lunch or something. Yeah. And I need to get to know you a little bit better. But there's great. So prayer is super important, as we've been talking about. There's a couple of books that I really highly recommend, especially for our families. This book is the Power of Praying Wife. How many of you have ever read this book, gone through this book? Where are my hands at? Can you testify that it's a good book? Powerful book, helpful book. So what it does is it goes through all of men's issues and problems and helps you pray through them. Amen. And all the men said, I'm going to get that for my wife. I need those prayers, right? So basically, it makes it really easy because what it does is it explains some of the things that are going on in your spouse's life, and it helps you. It actually has prayers written out for you. You know, if we sing other people's songs, it's okay to pray other people's prayers. Amen. We need to pray our own, but it's okay, right? It's okay. So, but it's really good. This is a really great book. It also, husbands, you are not left out. The Power of Praying Husband. Wait, I just realized this book is thicker. How about that? Wow. Just, oh my goodness, I'm going to get myself in trouble real quick. This is The Power of Praying Husband, same kind of thing. Guys, so just talking to a couple, actually, we've been going through this on our Wednesday morning group. And first off, let me just tell you what I've heard. They're like, honestly, this is true. Is this being recorded? They're like, what does this woman have to tell me about praying? Just saying. Let me say, do not let that hinder you. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful book. And I would encourage you to get it. And wives, you just give it to them. Just give it to me. Honey, I need prayer. If you want to love me, pray for me. Whew. Ooh, that came right out of my spirit. Also, this is The Power of Praying for Your Adult Children, Wayward Children. This is a great book as well. They also have just the basic Power of Praying Parent. These are great books. If you would like to take one, you're welcome to take one. They'll be right here on the front row. And if you'd like to buy it, then you could buy it however you give to our church. And everybody needs like a promise book or some kind of book that tells you about God's promises as you pray. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. So just a couple of things I may want to make you aware of. So, all right, I just got a weird text message right off the bat. It said, ministry is hard, but Jesus reigns. I don't know what that even means, so praise God. I receive that. See that as a word from the Lord. All right, John, let's go to John 15. You're like, wow, we're back in John 15. Is this still the fruitful series? Maybe. But I wanted to go back to this scripture that we spent so many weeks on and read it again. And just kind of dive back into this portion of scripture. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. By the way, we've said our first part of this year, the word God has given us is fruitful, to be fruitful. And we're seeing that. We're seeing fruit. He said, every branch produces fruit, they'll produce more fruit. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken you. Remain in me and I in you, just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. Nothing, nothing. Hear that? Yep. Nothing. If anyone does not remain in me and he is thrown aside like a branch and withers, they're gathered together and thrown into the fire and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. So here we are back to this scripture of the vine and the branches. We spent extensive amount of time talking about this idea of fruitfulness. We talked about what is fruit. And we said this weeks ago, that the fruit of a vine is the glory of the vine. The fruit of the vine is the glory of the vine. The fruit actually tells you what the DNA of that vine is. So when we produce fruit, we're producing the nature and character and attributes of God in us. That's fruit. So whether that's that's the fruit of the Spirit, whether that's the gifts of the Spirit, whether that's the manifestation of doing good works to other people, feeding the poor, all those kind of things are part of the fruit, because that's the nature and character of God, right? We are, an apple tree does not produce grapes, right? The grapes it's the proof of the DNA of the vine, right? Well, what's in the vine? So we talked about that. That's all in another message. And we talked about the only way that we're going to be able to produce fruit. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We meant what he said is apart from him, we can do nothing of anything of substance that revolves around the kingdom of producing fruit, right? And we talked about the Holy Spirit a lot during this series. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. So it works in and through us to produce the fruit. You cannot produce the fruit apart from the vine. Amen? So now here we are. We see this prayer connection in this whole illustration of the vine and the branches. We see this illustration, and he brings up this idea of prayer. And he makes this amazing statement that is, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, those are qualifications. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. So, here we go. This idea of prayer and this idea of connecting and staying connected to the vine. Let me give you a couple of ditches that many of the body of Christ, we find these ditches. And they're based, how many of you know, like, deception is like truth wrapped up in a lie, right? There is some truth in deception, or it wouldn't be deception, right? It wouldn't be deceiving if it didn't have any kind of truth at all. So what we see in some of these ditches is people say this, it's the idea that prayer doesn't really change situations. Prayer changes you. That was going to be a little bit nicer. Yes, garbage, right? But is that true? Is there truth in that? 100%. But this idea that prayer doesn't do anything, the only thing prayer does, well, prayer changes you, right? Well, prayer didn't really fix anything. It's really this idea is prayer doesn't change the circumstances. It only helps you go through those circumstances, right? And it didn't really change anything. That's a ditch. And that is a truth wrapped up in a lie, that God doesn't answer prayer. And then there's the other one, that man, God is the big slot machine in the sky. And all you got to do is put the right words together, say your little spell, and you can have whatever you want. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Have whatever, riches, fame, success, more followers on Instagram. I can get whatever I want. I can have everything, watch this, for my kingdom. Everything I want to make me healthy, wealthy, and wise. For me and me alone. Because it makes me feel good. That's a truth wrapped in a lie. There is truth in those. Is there power in the name of Jesus when you pray? 100%. Does God hear you and answer your prayers? Well, yes, 100%. Right? But here's where we kind of, so these, and also we have these ideas that prayer, that my prayer is just really a list of to-dos for God. I think y'all talked about that last week. It's like our list of to-dos to God, right? And then we said this a few weeks ago, or we just say that prayer is like just, is really expressing our worry to God. It's like worrying to God. You go, oh, I feel so much better. Like, and you just, all you do is worry to the divine who has the power to fix and shape and mold and help. Yeah. So what is prayer? What is prayer? If we miss this, what I'm about to say, if we miss this idea of prayer, we've missed the whole thing of it. Prayer is first communion with God. Everything else is based off of your communion with God. If it's not, it's religious works. Prayer is your communion with God. I got this definition of this idea of what this word communion means. Communion has like, it's like kind of a multi, a communion is again, one of those words that we go, I kind of know what that means. I don't really know exactly. I think it's like when you go up and you get the bread and the juice and you, you know, then you eat it when they tell you to eat it. And communion involves believers coming together to participate in a sacramental meal that symbolizes their connection with God and each other. Now, and then this definition goes on and says outside the religious context, well, I'd say it's actually right in the religious context, communion can refer to a deep sense of connection and understanding between individuals who share common, watch this, common values and beliefs, who work together towards a common goal. Ultimately, communion is about building a sense of unity and connection with others, whether it is through shared experiences, beliefs, or values. Now, we take that definition of communion, and we say, we use what I say, the number one thing in prayer, that prayer is first communion with God. It starts to start painting a picture of what prayer is supposed to look like. Prayer, this idea that God and me, somehow we come together and we have the same ideas, the same goals, the same values, the things that are important to him are important to me. That's part of, that's why he says that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you. But when we ask, we have this idea that it's like, now I'm going to get ahead of myself. Let me land this point a little bit more. The heart of this message is you remaining in him. Relationship with God is, do you understand? That's the crux of this whole thing. It's our unity and our communion with God. Mark chapter 16, watch this, what he says in verse 20. It says, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. May I say with them? Not in spite of them, not outside of them, with them, and confirmed the word by accompanying signs. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, 14, whatever your, this is a little translation issue that some of our Bibles have. It starts this, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God, there's a message in this whole, just this scripture. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This idea of the, there's so much packed in that. I'm just going to talk about it. He says, I want you to understand the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus has done for you. Actually, a little side note, for Palm Sunday and Easter, if you have people that aren't familiar with Jesus and they're not part of the church community and they're not followers of Jesus, and they and we get a mishmash of what the gospel really is that many of us don't even know what the gospel is. So that's what I'm going to do. 2 weeks in a row, we're going to preach the gospel. We're going to preach Palm Sunday that man, without Christ, we got issues, all of us, right? Separated from God. And we're talking about resurrection, resurrection Sunday. We're talking about being raised with Christ, right? So we're going to preach what the gospel is. So if this is a great time. If you have unsaved friends, bring them. So anyway, it'll be a good time. So fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This is what it's all about. Relationship with God. God is called to be, he wants to be like a companion in our lives. Isn't that beautiful? That the Holy Spirit wants to fellowship with you, have relationship with you. Man, I feel like I grew up in church. I didn't hear about the Holy Spirit until I was like 21 years old. I was like, it was the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Knew about the Father, knew about Jesus. The Holy Spirit was like that spooky thing that those churches talked about. This is literally the answer of the New Testament, is the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. This should be like where we're at in our lives is, how do I commune and how do I relate and how do I function alongside with the Holy Spirit? Should be the number one pursuit of our lives. The drawing and pursuit of the Holy Spirit. No wonder it's been like ripped out of our much of the doctrines of the churches. It is the power. So God is like our parent. He is will. He is not only is he our companion. He's not just like your buddy. He's like your buddy, the divine, the God of the universe, that we just spoke about. Like, and as he speaks, 100 billion galaxies appear. This is our God, and he is not only alongside you, but he is now within you. It's amazing, this amazing thing that this wonderful Holy Spirit creator lives inside of us. Let me just speak the thoughts that are some of the thoughts. And we refer to him as, yes, he's the wind, but he's like a wind. No, he is a mighty rushing wind on Pentecost. He is the power of the Holy Spirit. He is also the one who will take the things of Jesus and make them known to you. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we get the mind of God about things. His work and his kingdom stuff is established in us with his power. We have that readily available to us. Without the Holy Spirit works, without the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, we're just throwing out thoughts to God. Without the Holy Spirit, let me switch over a little bit, being involved in your prayer life, we're really many times just throwing out thoughts to God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, communicating with our spirit, helping us, guiding us, changing us, yes, changing us into his image. That we learned, when we learn these things, we learn that God is not a roulette wheel. He's not a, whatever you call it, what's that thing called? What do you call it? Slot machine, right? You put your little prayer in and you pull the slot. And he's not the, I don't really change anything. It's really you, the only thing that needs to be changed. Right? When we get those mixed up, we have this idea that now my prayer life, when I actually need things to happen, I need provision for my family. I need my kids to come to the Lord. My spouse is in need of help. Right? It's not that, see, many of us have this idea. I'm trying to get God to do something for me. If only God would change his mind and help me because they're acting a fool or they're doing whatever. If I can just, many of our prayers are, I'm trying to get God to do something that somehow he's reluctant to do. Think about, not your prayers, the other prayers of other people. You're trying to get God to do something for you that he's reluctant to do. When we understand that it's not just a monologue between you and God, but prayer is this dialogue between you and the Holy Spirit, like they talked about last week, this dialogue of conversation. And you have this dialogue of conversation, and the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray, and then also, God, what's my part in this thing? It's not I'm taking all of this stuff and throwing it on God, right? There's my part too. But what is my part? Honestly, guys, I would just be transparent most of the time too. But what is my part? Honestly, guys, I would just be transparent most of the time. If I have a ditch that I lean towards, it's the do it myself ditch, right? I kind of wish sometimes I would, like, it was just the prayer only. You know, you just kind of pray. You don't do anything. God, I want favor with my boss. I mean, I'm late all the time to work. And I don't really show up to do my job. I don't really work hard. But God, show me favor, right? There is both. It is a you part and a him part. It is the God working together with those apostles, watching miracles happen, watching things happen. It is a both and. But the only way you're going to be able to align those things up is if you have your communion with God down. When you have that voice of the Holy Spirit inside you. When there's been so many times that this is where that truth of God changes you actually comes in. Because God does change you. He does change you. Like, you pray for favor and you've been showing up late for work. Guess what? One of the first things God's going to start dealing with you about is your work ethic. God would be like, you can't violate the book of Proverbs and believe me for everything. Right? You can't violate all this wisdom that I've given you and expect all these things just to turn around, right? Right? So God starts dealing with you. Okay, God, I'm going to start being on time. God, you've dealt with me. I'm going to start becoming on time, but I'm still praying for favor. I'm still praying. I haven't quit praying. It's not all on me. It's God that holds the hearts of kings in the palm of his hand and turns it whatever way he will. Right? So prayer changes things. We're not trying to get God to do something because he's reluctant to do it. You know what? You get aligned with him. You remain in him and his words remain in you. Man, it changes the way, it even changes your attitude towards prayer. You know how much confidence that you have in your prayer? When you know that you're praying God's will, you know you're praying what God wants. But be sure it's God's will, right? There is God's will. And that's why he says, remain in me and my words remain in you. What are the promises that are in this scripture? Kenneth Hagin used to say it all the time. What are you going through? Find scriptures that line up to his promises. Is healing promised to you? Pray and believe him for it. Is financial provision, is that what he wants for you? Yes, of course, 100%. Is it God's will for your children to come back to the Lord? Yes, 100%. You are praying God's will for these circumstances. Is it God's will for you not to, church? Is it God's will for you not to have enough to be an effective giver? If you're only able, poverty is a curse. So is abundant blessing. That's another thing. Can be. But if, like, we're called, like, one of my confessions over our church is we have an abundance towards every good work. We have an abundance towards it. That's God's word for me, for our church. I pray that over our church all the time. God, we have an abundance towards every good work. We don't have an abundance. No, I was going to say, just so that Pastor can have a nice boat. Anyway, but if somebody would like to give one, I'm open. Just kidding. I'm half kidding. Let the Lord lead. Okay. Anyway. Man, I'm not asking for a jet, just a boat. Anyway. Whoo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway. Church boat. I can do a lot of counseling on a by the river, by the streams of the waters. Amen. Okay, let's get over. Okay, let's talk about a little bit real quick. Real quick, I want to just breeze through some types of prayer, and then I want to go to somewhere I want to go to. Dennis appreciates the boat thing, don't you, Dennis? We've had talks about that. Anyway, types of prayer. Just rushing through these real quick. Adoration. Praising God for his goodness, his mercy, his love. Just who he is. Who he is. Creator, God, you're a powerful, almighty God. Thanksgiving, expressing God's gratitude for his blessing and provision over your life. Well, that's something we should probably start doing a little bit better at, being grateful for what we have. Confession, acknowledging our sins and mistakes and asking for forgiveness. It should be a vital part of our prayer life, of who we are. Petition, asking God for personal your needs and desires and things that and being specific about these things. Intercession, praying for the needs of others, such as family, friends, and people who are suffering. Intercession, one of the greatest acts of love is praying for others. Supplication, praying God's intervention, assistance in a particular situation. So if they have a situation that's going on, praying that God would help you in that situation. Here's one we don't talk a lot about, is lament. The Psalms are full of lament. Grief, expressing grief, sadness, or mourning to God. You know, that's okay, church. Expressing your grief, expressing your disappointments, expressing those things. We'll see that in a minute. And another highly thing that we have just pushed off to Eastern mysticism is contemplation and meditation. Reflecting on God's presence and seeking a deeper understanding of his will and his purpose. Contemplation, being silent, quiet, meditating on God's word, thinking about God's word. Spiritual warfare, praying against demonic forces, spiritual forces. And lastly, speaking God's word, just being a person who speaks God's word into situations. But also, let me remind us that without that, all of those aspects of prayer, being without communion with God, they're just religious duty. Like, we turn our hearts toward the Lord in prayer. We ask the Lord, many of us, let me just say, if you're trying, the Lord gave me this while I was studying, and just I just can't express the emphasis that the Lord wanted to put on this. Many times when we pray without communion and it becomes that religious duty, many of us fall into the, my prayers are dry. My prayers are, you know, they seem like they're not going past the ceiling and all of those things. I would encourage you to mix it up and make the communion aspect of your prayer a more of a importance to you, right? Maybe do some worship. Maybe do some, start doing some Thanksgiving and those kind of confession and just adoration of your love of God, right? Your personal. So I want to do something. I have no idea what time it is. Oh yeah, we're good. I got like an hour. So I thought we could go through a psalm. It's interesting that you brought that up, Eric. And I thought we'd go through a psalm. And like, if there was like a Mount Rushmore of prayer people, right? You know what I mean by a Mount Rushmore of prayer people? No, do we? Like, okay, like the famous like prayer people, like, right? So we always say, like, if there's a Mount Rushmore of, you know, football players, it would be, you know, these people. Like, and so in this idea of this Mount Rushmore of prayer people, I would put like David, King David, like way up there, as far as a guy who just prayed and knew how to seek the Lord. And I thought we would go to chapter three. So this psalm, Eric made mention that these early psalms, a lot of them are when David was in his most distress and he was going through so much. Right here, he's actually his own son is leading a revolt against him. Imagine all the personal drama. Not only the you have to fight the battle, right? And you have to do all the things, but that's your son, right? The hurt, right? I want you to feel that for a second. Feel the, it's not just, oh yeah, just this guy named Absalom who just tried to overthrow him. That was his son. And so let's start off in verse 1. And listen to his lament here at the very beginning. He said, Lord, how my foes have increased. Do you know this is okay, right, as you pray? Right? This is what's going on, God. There's many who teach that you shouldn't even talk about the bad things. You should only confess the good. That's not the examples that we get in Scripture. We're very honest before God. Lord, how my foes have increased. There are many who have attacked me. Many say about me, there's no help for him in God. Right? So there's this lament of this worry of this, this idea that is expressing the reality of his situation and the heaviness of his situation. And church, that's okay. We should feel comfortable enough with our God to be able to do those things. We should feel, and many times, and I heard your amen, Tyrone, because many times what we do, we're just like, somebody's in mourning or hurting, and we immediately want to go to help, love. Let me help you build it. No, let somebody lament for a minute. Let somebody sit in their pain for a minute. Like mourning, like you understand, mourning is a gift from God. Like sadness and grief is a gift from God to help us process major events that happen in our life, right? But there is, like everything else, there's unhealthy grief, right? It can turn into unhealthy grief and unhealthy lament and unhealthy, that becomes part of your personality. You put that on to yourself. And a lot of our depression and anxiety that we're seeing in our world today is because of just that. They're identifying with the pain and the suffering and the hurting that's going on in them, or the difficulties or the problems or all the things, right? And they identify, and all of a sudden the best they can do is just identify with that pain and it makes them feel a little bit better, right? That is not healthy processing. Yes, you're in pain. Yes, it hurts. And yes, it's traumatic, 100%. But it's interesting, the very next verse, that he says, yes, I'm going to be able to lament. And then verse 3, he said, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answered me. He answers me from his holy mountain. It doesn't even sound like this situation is fully resolved, does it? This isn't like after. This is like in real time. All this stuff is still happening. But you know what? What he does here is he makes some declarations about who God is and about what God does. There should be in some of your lament and your struggle and your difficulty, there should be some place where you make the switch and go, I don't know how this is all going to work out. I know it hurts and it's awful and I don't even want to be here, but God, you are a shield for me. I'm going to make some declarations about who you are. Not even what I want you to do about all. I'm going to make some declarations for who you are. And it's actually in light of what I'm going through. I'm going to make some declarations about who you are. And then he says this. He says, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. He says, listen, because you are that, because Lord, you're the shield about me and the one who lifts my head up, when I lay down, I'm going to sleep. I'm not going to be afraid of all these people trying to destroy me. They're out there, but I'm not going to be afraid of them. You know what's amazing? When you have your lament, and then you have your your declaration of who God is, it's amazing what peace that brings to you. Immediate, like that peace comes to you. Where God, you got me, God. Sometimes that is simple as my prayer. God, I don't know it all, but Lord, I know. I know from past experience, I know from things that you've done, God, that you are with me. You haven't left me. And God, if you haven't left me, I can sleep. I can live a life worry-free because, God, I know you care for me and you got me. Right? And then it's fun. It's interesting that then and only then he cries out for asking God to do something. He says, rise up, Lord. Save me, my God, for you strike the enemies on their cheek. Man, and figure that all out in your theological mind. Break the teeth of the wicked. That's amazing. I don't know what that means. But he's asking the Lord to do it, not you, for whatever that's worth. He says, because salvation belongs to the Lord, may your blessings be upon your people. It's here where we finally see David say, hey, God, I need you to do something about this. Save me from all of this stuff that's going on. Fix all of these things, because he's lamented. He knows who God is. He has some peace about him. And now he's asking God on behalf and says, God, I need you to work in this situation. Because of all of the things that I've experienced, I know, God, that you are good. God, you love my child more than I love my child. God, you want provision for me more than I want provision for me. God, I am not trying to get you to do something that you're reluctant to do. God, I'm asking you to do things to push your kingdom forward. And God is so good that he answers. Jesus makes an amazing statement at the tomb of Lazarus. He says, Father, I thank you that you hear me. And I thank you that you always hear me. It's this communal relationship with God. And communion doesn't mean just friendship and relationship. It has to do with this idea that, God, your thoughts are now my thoughts. Your ways are now my ways. We are in communion together in our goals and in the things that we want. The things that we want to see on this earth. God, we want to, like, the things that you want, God, I want them. And I am your agent here on the earth by the power of the Holy Spirit living in me to push back darkness through the power of prayer. And that, God, it's not all, and there is a my part to play 100%. But God, I give this other part to you. I can't change people's hearts. I can't fix all these things that are bigger than I am, but I can be obedient to your word. And God, whatever you ask me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Quick story. I had a situation, and this is how prayer in my life works. I had this situation where my mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's about the time, actually she was getting into the later stages, when we started this church. And my stepdad, he was a piece of work, we'll just say that. And he walk in forgiveness and love, so I'm careful with my words. But caused he wrote us a lot of emails, we'll just leave it at that. And he would accuse myself and my sisters of not being good kids, because they lived over near Hartwell, Lake Hartwell. And you know, if you know anything about, if you've ever tried to driven from Woodstock or to Hartwell, like you can't get there from here. Like you have to go like around there. Like they need a new road or something. But like I need Dennis to fly me. Because that's the quickest way to get there, because there's no road that goes, that's like 285 down here. Like it's a long trip, right? And so, but there, his expectation, watch this, his expectation of what I should do as a son was different than what I was doing. Okay? and call me out, call me a bad son, told me I didn't love my mom. I mean, all this, and I'll leave all the colorful language to your own imagination. And so this is my mom. I love my mom. I care for my mom. Breaks my heart what was going on with my mom. I'm like grieved over that. I'm also starting a church. And I'm also working 40 to 60 hours a week at my secular job and starting a church. You remember those days? Because life was busy. And so this is what I did. I said, God, break his teeth. No, I didn't pray. I didn't pray. Break his teeth. Woo, boy. I may have thought those prayers. I didn't say those prayers. It's real. It's real. Like, you're angry. How dare you? And like, not only that, who are you to tell me how much I love my mom? Who are you? But I'm also a godly guy. So my attitude when I get criticism is I take it before the Lord, like we all should, and say, Lord, is there any truth, no matter the way he's giving it, Lord, is there any truth into these things? Am I being disobedient? Or am I being a bad son in any way? And the Lord spoke to me this. He says, change your life. You're only required to do what I ask you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. He said, ask me how many times you should go see your mom. I went, okay. Lord, how many times? He goes, you need to go see your mom twice a month. Deal. I got it from the Lord. It's a stretch. We're starting a church, all the stuff. But all right. So what was great, you know what's great about that? All of his attacks, they still came. Meaningless. I don't give a rip what he thinks about me. I care what God thinks about me. So how did I get that? Through prayer. Through fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, my prayer is that, God, when I go there, God, let me be a blessing to my mom. Help me. Let me love my mom. I'm fully there, fully, you know, present. You know, I'm not there for 20 minutes and leave. I'm there for the whole. If you had a family member go through Alzheimer's, you know all the. I mean, it's so hard. Like, it's hard on them. It's hard on the family. But so many times what we want to say is, I got to take care of all of it. I got to go every weekend. I got to go. No. Don't ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what is my responsibility to do? And you get that kind of stuff in prayer. Lord, I have this sickness. What should I do? What should I do? Should be your first question. What should I do? Right? And don't just jump off to the, you know, some of us faith people, you want to jump off to the, believe God, well, just believe God, I'm not a doctor, no doctor. No, stop it. What does God ask you to do? My pastor over across town, God told him he had cancer. He's a faith guy, strong faith guy. You know, bless God, I believe, you know, whatever. Strong faith guy. And he goes, I'm just going to believe my way out of it. Lord corrected him. He said, nope, you need to take chemo. I don't want to take chemo. I'm going to believe you, God. Boy, how do you reconcile that? God's telling you to go to the doctor and you're saying, no, I want to believe you. Boy, that just doesn't work, does it? But how did he get that? He got that through prayer. They gave him, I forget, how long did they give him to live? Rex, do you remember that? 90 days to live. He's still preaching. 20-something years ago. He's still preaching. God healed him, yes. Oh yeah, he said. Oh yeah, he said. He said. He says, well, Lord, where is my faith? He said, find your faith level and believe me. Oh, that's such another teaching. Find your faith level, and activate in your faith level. He said, well, God, I have faith that when I take chemo, I won't lose my hair. I mean, he lost his hair now, but He didn't lose any of his hair going through chemo. He would grab hold of those bags of chemo and lay his hands over those bags of chemo and pray over those bags of chemo. He goes, before you put that junk in me, you gotta let me pray over it. And he prayed over it. And they watched it just disappear out of his body. Listen to the voice of the Lord. He may ask you to do something that's outside your comfort zone, or actually many times. But that's what our job is, to be led by the Spirit. We're Spirit-led people, right? Amen? Let's all stand together. I've gone way off my topic. But you get that stuff through prayer. Eric, you want to come on up? Prayer. You know what's interesting is I'm not going to name any people, but I've had so many people in these last few weeks come up to me and say, hey, we've been praying more and trusting God more, and we're starting to see changes. We're starting to see changes in situations and problems and stuff, right? We are communion with God, prayer people. Bow your heads with me. So I want you to think about some situations that are going on in your own life. I want you to And over these few weeks, we've talked about what prayer is. We've talked about being persistent in your prayer. We talked about the persistent widow and kept knocking on the judge's door, asking for justice. And that parable is in this understanding of prayer. We've talked about last week the conversation of prayer, which we talked about a little bit more today. But let me ask you this, just be honest. You know, in this church, it's okay to be where you're at, but God wants us to grow. He wants us to go to another level. And maybe this whole prayer idea is new to you, and you've never really thought about all these different ways to pray, or man, I didn't know you could be that like confident in your prayer. Yeah, you can. And maybe this is all new, but in that situation that you're thinking about, the question is, how much have you submitted those things to prayer? And how much have you only relied on what you can do about that situation? Maybe you're out of balance that way. It's okay. It's okay. God is a great, He can bring that pendulum in the center because He's good like that. Or maybe you're on the other pendulum and you said, man, I've just been praying and praying and praying. I'm not doing really anything and I'm not really submitting myself to the Lord or anything, but I've been praying and praying and praying. And there's a submission to the Lord that needs to happen. And you need to ask yourself, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And you haven't really asked that question. I would encourage you to ask that question. And it'll come as nudges. It'll almost sound like your own thoughts, so be careful. But God wants to help you. He wants to work with you in all these situations. Just ask Him right where you're at. Just ask Him. Just take a moment and ask Him, Lord, what would you have me do? Have you had somebody come and pray and agree with you about that situation? That's a biblical command, actually. So you call for the elders of the church and have people pray for you. Do you have somebody come and pray the prayer of agreement with somebody? I'm going to ask her, if you're here and you're part of our prayer team, would you come on up real quick? Thank you. So like we always do, we're going to dismiss. I appreciate that testimony, Tyrone, of you being and your transparency. But on the other side of that testimony is the power of praying life, the power of praying church, and also a pretty good guy in Tyrone who genuinely loves the Lord, even through all the stuff. So, Father, we give these things to you. We thank you, Father, that you hear us when we pray. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you even guide us and direct us to how to pray. And God, we thank you, Father, that we get to be co-laborers with you in the work of the kingdom and doing kingdom things. And God, we thank you for the vehicle of prayer that we can actually come and approach the throne of grace to find help in time of need. God, we give you thanks for those things. We thank you for the peace that comes when we pray. We thank you for the answers that come when we pray. And especially, God, we thank you that you come into our lives when we pray. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. Here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. God, we thank you for your goodness. And I just pray over this congregation, God, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of the people that are in this room. In reality, not in religious, but reality. And God, we give you thanks and honor and praise. And what we're going to ask you to do, if you're asking for prayer, we want you to come up and just get prayer from people. If you want to just go in, we love this part. Just go in and fellowship and be in the other room. But please.